You're listening to the After Hours Podcast. This week has sucked for both of us. We're not going to go into that, but it's just sucked.
Yeah,
huh?
It's
been a hard week.
It's been a very hard week, challenging week, and I hope one day I can forget this week ever happened.
And I hope I can too, because I was stressed as you were. We've just had a hard week, and so it'll be nice to be able to talk about some other things.
Ebb and flow, right? That such is life, right? Hard week, and then hopefully. Hopefully it doesn't ever get as hard as this week was, though.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about a really cool subject. We're going to talk about attachment styles. And I've been reading a lot about this. And once you know each attachment style, you can pinpoint who of your friends, family, coworkers are where.
Yeah. You mean, okay, like I can see, like once I'm aware of the styles, I can say, oh, okay, I know my buddy over here. I guarantee he's a blah, 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 or
right.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And so you'll probably learn a lot about yourself. And I say that for both of us, because I learned a lot about myself. Okay. And I already knew which attachment style I was, but it's real interesting to see how people get there.
Can you just be one attachment style?
You usually are, yeah.
Okay. So maybe I'm not too informed, because I think I've developed into a certain attachment style in my last relationship than what I was in the prior one.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see.
Weird,
we're
right?
Going to talk. Yeah, that is weird. So we're going to talk about it. Okay. So there are four attachment styles, but the first one is the one that you want to be. Everybody wants. It's the secure attachment. That's right.
I knew it.
And this is what it says. It says, a secure attachment style is characterized by feeling comfortable with closeness and intimacy, trusting others, and having healthy, long-lasting relationships. Securely attached individuals can regulate their emotions, communicate effectively, and seek support when needed. They tend to have high self-esteem and a positive view of both themselves and others.
Yeah, that one's hard, because that one, when you were reading that, I was like, oh, done. I want that. I want all of that. And I have some of that, but, you know, yeah, you're right. That there's some of those lines that you said where I'm like, yeah, I lack in that part and that part and that part.
Right. So some of the key characteristics of a secure attachment is comfort with intimacy and independence.
I definitely have comfort with intimacy.
So it says individuals with secure attachment feel comfortable with closeness.
Yeah.
And vulnerability.
I do feel like I have that.
That you are vulnerable.
Yeah, I can be vulnerable around a woman. Yeah.
But they also don't fear being alone. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean it's like with a woman. It could be with just any relationship.
Oh, you're not – okay, as far as like any friendship or a romantic relationship or
right.
Work relationship, you mean – overall.
Overall.
Oh, I was leaning more towards a romantic relationship. Okay, so good to know. So just in a general sense.
In the general sense,
got
yeah.
It. Okay.
Okay, trust and openness. They trust others and are general. Why can I not speak today?
Because you know what? We're doing the Howard Stern thing. It's first thing in the morning.
And they're generally trusting of themselves, leading to open communication and honesty in relationships.
Okay.
Emotional regulation. They can manage their emotions effectively and don't rely on others to regulate their feelings for them.
Okay. I had to read that back in my head, that they don't rely on others to regulate for them.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. Healthy relationships. Securely attached individuals tend to form lasting, healthy relationships with others based on mutual respect and support.
Yuck.
No, I'm just kidding. Seeking support. They're comfortable seeking support from others when needed, demonstrating a healthy dependency on their social network.
On their social network.
So basically that means like, I don't have a problem going to one of my friends and saying, you know what? I need help. I am moving this day. Mm. I need you to come over and help me.
Or can that mean emotional help too? It's like, hey, yes, man, like, can you like meet up and like, can we hang out for a little bit? Because I'm just like, I'm going through it right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Any of that. Okay. High self-esteem.
Okay.
This definitely is not me. Secure attachment is often associated with higher self-esteem and a positive self-image.
Positive self. I struggle with that. I think we all kind of do, but then there's other times where, I don't know if you can relate to that, where you're like, okay, I feel good about myself. And then like, you look tired today. Then I'm like, well, now that's shot.
Yeah, right. A positive view on others. Okay. They tend to view others positively and are less prone to jealousy and progressiveness. Oh, possessiveness.
Oh, possessiveness. Hmm. I think I don't really remember the last time
my glasses, I think.
Maybe that's, is that why?
I was like, I'm like, I can't read today. It's because I need my glasses. Okay.
Do you want me to read it?
No, we'll have you go over one of the other ones. Effective communication. They can communicate their needs and their feelings clearly and effortlessly as they listen to others well.
Yeah. I think I have a pretty good touch on that, especially, I think, definitely in a romantic sense. If I'm going through something, I don't mind doing that. But I don't know. You work with me. I think if I'm mad, I think you know why. I think
I do. And I know you're not in the secure attachment.
Yeah.
How secure attachment develops. So this is what we all crave, right? This is how it develops in somebody. Okay. Secure attachment often develops from consistent, responsive caregiving in childhood.
Caregiving?
Yeah. So basically, like, your parents, they treated you like,
oh,
well, and they, you were,
which would make sense. So as a grown up, you're like, okay, now I'm secure. I feel good about other people and myself. I feel confident and all the stuff that you're stating here.
Right.
It will be developed early on as a child. So if you didn't have that and now you're just an anxious worry bee, then you're like, well, it's because I didn't have, you know, whatever
right.
it is.
Okay, right. Got it. Exactly. Okay. When children feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure, they're more likely to develop a secure attachment style.
Mm.
Now, think about how you grew up and think about like some of your friends and how they grew up. And, mm-hmm. and like if you grew up in a one parent home, for example, you're most likely not going to have a secure attachment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're lacking the other half.
Yeah.
You know, that you need. Okay. Now the benefits. There are benefits to having a secure attachment. Okay. They form strong relationships. Okay. They are more stable and they have satisfying relationships.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. They're better mental health. Secure attachment is associated with lower levels of anxiety and depression.
I've never heard of this term. What is mental health?
Very funny. Well, we are going to talk about that at a later date. Okay. Increased resilience. They're more resilient in the face of stress and adversity, which I love that.
You mean they can handle stress, that they can like withstand stress significantly more compared to someone with an anxious or whatever style, right?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. Because they handle it like logically.
How do I handle stress?
Oh, we're going to go there in just a little bit.
You've never seen me stress, have you?
Never. Never. And they have
stressed out.
And they have greater empathy and compassion. They're more empathetic and compassionate towards others.
Mm.
Now, that's something that I do possess a lot of, is the empathy.
Progress.
Yeah. Is the empathy and compassion. So maybe I have a little bit of that secure attachment, just a tiny bit.
I can see, because some of, not a lot of them, I definitely would not be labeled under secure, but there are some of these where I'm like, oh, I do have that. So it is okay to have one thing over here and maybe, you know, like.
Yeah, but once we get into the other attachment styles, I think you'll go, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me.
Oh, I know for sure. I know I'm not secure.
But I think that like some of us grew up with like, let's say you grew up with a parent that is very empathetic and sympathetic, you know, or compassionate. Obviously, you can get that characteristic from them, you know.
Right, right. Even if it's a broken home or if it's a one person, you know, like a one family home, then. Right. Yeah, there's certain traits that you can carry on.
Okay, developing secure attachment. If you do not have a secure attachment style, it's possible to develop it. Which I think
also, if that's a goal, right? So if you're like, yes. Nick, I know I'm not secure attachment style. However, I want to become one. You can. It's never too late.
Yes, and especially with these, because it's really how you look at all these attachment styles and you do those things to get to where you want to be. These are interchangeable. You can go from one to the other.
So you can always change the road you're on.
You can, yes.
Which has been a highlight of this week far for me.
It has. Okay, so.
Cheers to Robert Plant for saying that.
So, way to heaven. So some of the ways that you can develop a secure attachment is therapy. Working with a therapist can help you understand your attachment patterns and develop healthier ways of relating to others.
Hmm.
Okay. And I am totally for therapy. I think therapy is great.
I've been one time.
One time. I know.
But Beatus is my therapist.
Yeah. Okay. Self-reflection. Becoming aware of your attachment style and know how it impacts your relationships is an important first step.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking in the mirror is very hard though sometimes. Metaphorically, of course.
It is.
Speaking of.
I think unless you have a secure attachment.
Yeah. Well, because you don't, and maybe that is part of a secure, sometimes it's not thinking that you're wrong or not wanting to believe that you're wrong. So when you look into the mirror, as a secure person, I would imagine that you're like, you know what, that was wrong. I did this and you know what, I shouldn't have and whatever that is, instead right. of like maybe having a different attachment style. And then you're in a fight or you're in an argument or you're stressed out and you're like, no, I'm not looking within. You want to know why? It's because I'm going to die on this hill because this is how I feel.
Exactly.
How do I know that it's right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Mindfulness practices. Mindfulness techniques can help you become more aware of your emotions and develop better emotional regulation skills.
Okay.
So basically, you know, okay, let's meditate. Let's like think about how I really feel. Let's, you know, yeah. Building supportive relationships. Surround yourself with supportive and trustworthy people that can help you develop a more secure attachment style.
Yeah, I could see that. You are who you surround yourself with.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, practicing healthy communication. Learning how to communicate your needs and feelings clearly and effectively can improve your relationships.
How to express my needs?
How to regulate them.
Oh, mm-hmm. Regulate them. So yeah. If I'm feeling what? Okay.
Like learn to communicate your needs and feelings clearly. Like this is how I'm feeling.
Right. Instead of I keep going to a relationship. So sorry. I know it's a general sense. But if I have a hard day at work or whatever and I'm irritated and whatever, if I'm not feeling good and I come home and then I'm kind of like standoffish. Right. And then instead of her having to be like to try to navigate that and like, okay, and whatever she's going through, instead I could be like, look, I'm upset from work and maybe we can talk about it or maybe I need 10 minutes or whatever. Instead of just not saying anything and just being pissed.
Right.
Learning how to regulate the emotion that I am feeling if it is negative instead of allowing it to damage the situation that I'm in. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That's harder.
It is. It really is. The next one is setting boundaries. Establishing healthy boundaries in relationships is essential for creating a sense of safety and security.
Okay, boundaries.
Boundaries. But boundaries are good. Like,
yeah.
You know, boundaries keep you safe. Boundaries keep you, they're like kind of like laws in a car.
Yeah.
We have laws for a reason. There's stop signs so you don't get hurt.
There's seatbelt laws.
There's seatbelt laws so you don't get hurt. Yeah. So it can be the same for like relationships. It can be the same for parents to child. It can be the same for coworkers. It can be, you know what I mean?
Boundaries.
Okay. So that's the secure attachment. Now we're going to go into the other ones.
So now that we've covered secure attachment, we don't need to cover anything else because we're perfect. We're all secure, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. So the next one is anxious. Okay.
Can I say something? Yes. By the way, for those of you that are listening, I have not even seen, she has a stack of papers in front of her. And I haven't really looked into the certain attachment styles and really honed in on what is mine. But I've been told that I am an anxious attachment style. So we shall, I guess I'll be able to confirm or deny that.
And I can confirm that you are anxious attachment style.
I am?
You are. And so am I. Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, this is going to be news to me, and I'm excited.
Okay.
Or maybe I should be nervous.
Anxious attachment style, also known as preoccupied attachment, is characterized by a strong desire for closeness and intimacy in relationships, coupled with fear of abandonment and rejection. Individuals with this attachment style often crave reassurance and validation from their partners and may become overly dependent or clingy. Now, when you are stressed out, and I seek validation. That's what I do. I seek validation.
Me too.
Yes, I was going to say you do, because you will ask me
times like, am I okay? Am I okay? Am I okay? Am I
yes.
Okay? Yeah. And then you're like, give me what I want, that I feel better. And then 20 minutes later, I'm like, Olivia, let me, like, it's the first time I've ever asked you. I'm like, Olivia, am I okay? And you're like, yes.
Yeah. So I understand that.
Yeah. You do the same thing?
I do. I seek validation. With well, I don't know if I do a lot of it at work. Mm. Like, maybe outside of work, I do it a little bit more.
Have you seen that in me besides this week?
Yes. Yes, I have. That's a big one. I feel like for you, that's something that you – I mean, I think I seek validation, but I know for sure you want the reassurance.
I do. I want it with everything too. If I blow someone off on plans and then like again, so sorry, if I'm in a relationship, I'm like, do you think that was rude to me? Because like I wanted to like show up there, but I didn't feel like going. And then like – you know, they're like, yeah, no, it's fine. People cancel plans all the time. It's fine. And then like, it'll weigh on me. And then I'm like, okay, but what are you sure? And, you know, like I'm always asked, I will ask if something looks good or if something is this way or whatever a million times.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. If I get one yes, don't you think it should be like, okay, I got the answer. Why do I need 45 yeses?
Because this is our attachment style. We're anxious. That's the reason. Okay. Now the core features of anxious. Okay. Fear of abandonment.
Hmm.
Okay. We worry that our partner, our parent, our friends are going to abandon us.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Yeah. Need for reassurance. Okay. So we just talked about this. Frequent requests for validation and confirmation of the partner's love and commitment. Or a parent, or a friend.
Or a friend.
Or a, like, I always go to my friends, and I'm always like, are we okay? Like,
I've done that too.
Yeah, like, you do that to me, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what it is. You're seeking the validation, even if it's 100 times or 3 times, you need to hear that validation so you know.
That's so weird to me that I that's so wild.
Okay, clinginess and dependency. May exhibit behaviors like excessive texting, calling, or wanting to spend all their time with their partners.
I would say the time I've had, I don't know if I've ever necessarily been clingy in the sense of like calling or texting. Well, this week with you, I did.
But I wouldn't consider that. Yeah, I think because
that was, something else. But like, I don't think I've ever like established or, you know, I don't think I've ever had like, well, I need to, you know, constantly do the text or calling, but maybe the time, I don't know.
So I have, and what mine is more, making sure that like that person is okay. And making sure that like we are okay. And making sure that like,
yeah.
Like, so if I don't talk to somebody for like a couple days, I'm worried that something's up, you know?
Yeah.
But it could be just their attachment style too. And if they're a different attachment style than me, then that makes perfect sense, which we will get into.
And if they're just like, hey, I'm just checking out for a few days because I've had a rough day. I just don't want to have be near my phone. And if you're anxious and you're like, well, I haven't heard from them in a few days, they must be upset. And they're like, well, no, actually it's the opposite. I'm just binging Breaking Bad.
Yeah. You know. Like yesterday was really hard for me because I this week has been super hard, you know, because of your situation. And I have literally been super worried for you and like just thinking and like reliving.
Am I okay though?
You're great. You're great.
First time I've asked you though.
That is the first time you've asked me this today.
In 5 minutes. Yeah.
But like just just things of this week that I have been real anxious about. And you were a big part of that. But
and you know what? Something as I don't really say publicly or on social media or whatever, I'm putting God first, and I appreciate all the prayers that you and other people yeah. have given on my behalf. So amen to you.
You are sister. Welcome. You are welcome. Okay. Heightened emotional response. More reactive to perceiving threats or distance in relationships.
Hmm?
More reactive. Like we react more. So we have a heightened sense of like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, because we perceive that there's a threat or there's distance.
Yes, I react very strongly to distance.
Yeah.
And I take it personally.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I do that.
And then low self-esteem may doubt their worthiness of love and feel insecure in relationships.
Hmm.
Now, I know you do this too.
Mm-hmm.
You said some really scary things to me earlier this week. So I know your self-esteem is not where it should be. And mine isn't either. So I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is going to be interesting. The causes of why. Why do we have this type of attachment style? We're going to find out right now. Okay. Inconsistent or unpredictable childhood caregiving.
I could already see that. That plays a big factor in it.
When a child's need for comfort and attention are not consistently met, they may develop an anxious attachment style.
Hmm. Is that what you had?
Oh, I had a horrible childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know how I would label. I don't know what word I'd use to describe my childhood. I don't know if I'd say horrible, but I would say definitely distant. And I would say lonely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So mine was lonely, but mine was also very abusive. So I went through a lot of that. Okay. Early experiences of separation or loss.
Okay.
I was abandoned.
Yeah.
And then thrown foster care.
Yeah.
You know, and then that way. And it says separation from a primary caregiver or experiencing loss can contribute to a fear of abandonment later in life.
Whoa.
And my biggest fear is being abandoned.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you've ever felt that. If you've ever felt like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be abandoned by my friends. I'm going to be abandoned by my parents. I'm going to be abandoned by this person or, you know what I mean?
I think that I have. I had two people growing up that in my household that were very loving, and I'm very fortunate in a lot of ways, but their mind was foggy and created distance from certain things. So I was just kind of existing there. And then I went down the wrong path with other surroundings and other smoking weed and drinking and skateboarding and all that lifestyle. And then I went to go live with my grandma in Victorville. That was also another kind of loneliness because there was no connection. She was always in bed. And then my grandpa there, you know, there was some avoidance there. So it was just kind of me.
Right.
Around, you know, loving people. Again, I can't stress that enough because I'm sure my mom will listen to this. Very loving people. But a level of distance there.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, impact. How does this impact us in relationships? Okay. This one I kind of struggled with a little bit because it says difficulty trusting people. May struggle to trust their partner's feelings and intentions. I feel like I trust everybody until I lose that trust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I struggle. But most of the time, I usually trust everybody.
Is that a good trait or a bad trait?
Well, not trusting people is a bad trait.
Right. I think I would say trusting people is a good
trait. Oh, yeah.
But is it good to trust everybody?
Well, probably not. But we don't have a secure attachment, so I don't know.
What are you talking about? I have a very secure attachment.
Codependency. Okay. I have this with a couple people. Okay, the codependent, where we are codependent on each other. These are just different friends of mine, you know, and stuff like that, can become overly reliant on their partner for emotional regulation and support.
Mm.
You know? Okay,
I have a little bit of that.
Yeah, you might. Relationship dissatisfaction may experience heightened anxiety and dissatisfaction due to the constant need for reassurance and fear of abandonment.
The other person?
Yeah.
Yes. I have had that before where I'm like, yes, I'm trying to think of how to word this. Yeah, because I think in some ways I'm a difficult person to be in a relationship with, especially if I'm in that, like, and I was always told it was like OCD. Like, what are you doing OCD about this? Blah, blah, blah. Like, you've asked me a million times. And then I've been told where it's like, you know, it's hard for me to just keep giving you the same thing that I have. And if anything, I'm going to give you the opposite one. So you just, you know,
yeah,
spin the other way. And then maybe, you know, maybe you'll shut up about it, you know? So I'm sure that's very difficult.
Yeah. Conflict and tension. The need for reassurance and the fear of abandonment can lead to conflict and tension in the relationship. Now, I know overwhelmingly for me that I have created drama where there doesn't need to be drama only because I'm worried.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Only because I worry. It's all based out of fear.
Yeah.
And I worry that maybe this friendship over here or my parents or something is going to, somebody's going to abandon me. Okay. And then there's going to be tension because the other person thinks I'm crazy. And then I'm not really crazy. I'm just scared.
I can't remember. And I just looked up this quote because I love Tom Petty, but I can't remember if I quoted this in another one, if I just always talk about this, but Tom Petty quoted, "Most things I worry about never happen anyway."
That's awesome.
And that is the king himself.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
That's always resonating with me. It hasn't stopped me from worrying about things, you know, right, obviously, but whenever I get clear headed, I go, you know what? This week.
Yeah.
Now, fingers crossed that it's still something to not worry about. But yeah, I constantly do that. But most of the things that you worry about never happen anyway.
I'm going to have to put that on my wall or something.
That's
like that.
A good quote.
Okay. Coping and healing for the anxious. Okay. Once again, these are the same things. These are going to be the same things. Therapy. Okay. And then mindfulness and self-awareness, building self-esteem. So we need to build our self-esteem so that we don't need that external validation. We do need to set boundaries also so we are less codependent on other people.
You mean building that within myself, so if I have to ask you 100 times, is this going to be okay? And, you know, maybe it's okay to like ask, you know, to fill people in like, hey, you know, what are your thoughts? And it's like, okay, but like to trust within myself, like, you know what, it is like I have enough trust in my mind that it'll be okay, where I don't have to need that constant validation.
Right.
Okay.
And then communication skills. Now, I'm good at this, but it says developing effective communication skills can help individuals express their needs and feelings in a healthy way. So basically, we just have to communicate open and honestly.
Yeah.
You know, to develop that. Okay. So the next attachment style is the avoidant attachment. Okay. Now, this is a type of insecure attachment characterized by difficulty with emotional intimacy and a strong desire for independence.
That's hard for me to connect with.
Now, I'm not an avoidant.
Me neither.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to connect with people that are, though. I know people.
See, and the funny thing about this is almost everybody in my life
is an avoidant.
And so I have to seek that validation from them. You know, and
you
they
need that validation and they don't want to give it. So it's like two magnets that won't.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the good communicator and the not so good communicator. That's exactly what that is.
And why do they always end up married?
I don't know. Okay. It says individuals with this attachment style may suppress their emotions, struggle to trust others, and find it hard to form close relationships.
Ooh.
It often stems from childhood experiences where emotional needs were not constantly met.
And so it's the same with like anxious too. Like some sort of needs weren't met from a child.
Right. But it could be different needs.
Could be different needs. Yes. But it all stems. But they're right. When people say like childhood is so crucial about in forming who you are as an adult, I never spent too much time thinking about that. But damn.
Yeah. So this is the characteristics of an avoidant. Or how it worked, okay? Emotional distance. So basically, you had a parent that was emotionally distant from you, okay? Avoidance individuals tend to keep others at arm's length and may struggle to express or recognize their own emotions.
Because of that.
Yeah. So they didn't get the emotional, like, closeness that they needed. Like, my mom...
So now they struggle with that as an adult.
So my mom, for example, always told me, I love you, I love you, I love you. I heard that my entire childhood. Even though I had a crappy childhood, I heard that all the time. And so I don't have a problem telling people that I love them.
Yeah.
But think about being in a relationship with somebody that you didn't hear that as a child.
Yeah, certain people. I know people that where it's like, hey, I think I've been told, you know, by my dad that he was proud of me one time, and that's when I graduated college or whatever. And it's like, he never told me he loved me or whatever. Right. And it's like, for me, I could like tell someone that I've, you know, had a really great conversation with for an hour at a restaurant. Like, all right, I love you. Hey, it was so good meeting you.
And that's why we are not avoidance.
Yeah.
Okay. Independence. They highly value independence and self-reliance, often pertaining to handle problems on their own rather than asking for help. Now, you know those people that are like, I would never ask somebody where to go.
Yeah.
Like, I will never. I will figure it out. So those are those people. Okay.
I'm not that.
Distrust. Distrust. Having difficulty trusting others is a common trait leading to skepticism and reluctant to rely on others. So basically, you just distrust everybody from the beginning instead of us where we're like, no, we trust people.
Yeah. We're like, we're Beatus.
We are.
Trusting everybody.
She trusts everyone. Okay. Rejection sensitivity. While they may appear self-sufficient, avoidant individuals can be sensitive to perceived rejection or criticism.
So it doesn't affect them like it would affect you and I.
Probably not. It'll probably make them mad. And probably for us, it would probably hurt us. Like,
oh, I see. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, yeah. You don't like me.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
What do you think of this? I actually don't really think, I don't think that's your best. I don't really like that at all. And then it, like me, where I'm going to internalize that, be like, this fucker. Like, what are you talking about?
Suppression of emotions. They may downplay or ignore their feelings, sometimes to the point of emotional numbness.
Wow. That's actually, to someone who doesn't understand that, and it may not be, but it's actually a little scary to think about that.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the causes now. Unpredictable or unavailable caregivers. Avoidant attachments can develop when a child's emotional needs are not constantly met by caregivers, leading them to believe they cannot rely on others for support.
Isn't it interesting how like some certain things can be a little bit similar and be aligned, but like if you have two children, and like again in somewhat similar situations and how they can grow up and take different things or leave different things or whatever, and then be a completely different style of attachment style.
Yeah,
that's wild.
So in relationships, they have a difficulty with intimacy. Avoidant individuals may find it challenging to form close, intimate relationships and may withdraw when a relationship becomes too emotionally demanding. Oh, so gosh. And so, all these people in my life that are avoidants, and I'm just like, I just want you to love me as a person.
And then they may feel a little bit overwhelmed with that.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry to all my avoidants.
But is that what you're saying? Like they may feel a little bit over, like oh, that's too much. I'm gonna bolt now.
Yeah, and that's my biggest fear is that people will leave me.
And if they were an attachment style, then it would work because it's like, oh, I actually am just needing that validation and that love, and I more than anything. But the avoidants are like, whoa, it's getting real.
Yeah, they need space. Okay, they often require significant personal space and may feel overwhelmed by too much closeness or emotional expression. Oh, gosh. I feel like a horrible person right now.
I get it. Too much. No, you shouldn't feel like a horrible person, but too much like, you know what? I really appreciate our friendship and I'm so glad that our paths cross. And like, hey, I don't know what I'd do without you, man. And then they're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Commitment issues. Commitment can be a struggle for avoidant individuals as it may feel like a loss of control or independency. So.
Commitment issues.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Okay. Addressing avoidant attachment is the same thing. So it's therapy, self-awareness, vulnerability. Oh, so this is a new one. So gradually practicing vulnerability and sharing personal details with trusted individuals can help you build trust and intimacy. I cannot tell you how many times I have asked my one friend. I have a friend that I ask the same question to. And it's always like, if you were going to pick a sandwich to eat today, what sandwich would you pick? And it's such a stupid question.
You ask him that every day?
I ask my friend this every day, one of my friends. And He never answered. He's like, I'm not going to answer that. Like,
why?
I don't know. It's just, but I.
But where, in your mind, what is the significance of the sandwich choice?
I think, like, what do you feel like today? I feel like
it's a metaphor.
I feel like
asking him, okay, do you want to put Dorito nacho?
How did you know it was a guy?
I don't know. I just
assumed. Oh, okay.
No, I have no idea in my mind who it is. But you're not really asking about his sandwich. It's a metaphor of like how he's feeling or she. I think my natural.
Well, I think it could be, but it's really just like, okay, if I was going to eat lunch today and it was going to be a sandwich, what do I want? I think I'd want like tuna. Or like maybe I want roast beef, or I kind of feel like I would have chicken today.
Yeah.
It's almost one of those things that it's like you're just trying to get the like details out of them. You know what I mean? Like,
because some sort of detail about some sort of topic.
Right.
Again, you're not necessarily, I don't know if you really care or not, but you're not really, doesn't seem like you really care about what kind of sandwich he's, but you just want him or her. I don't know why I keep saying him. It's just my natural.
Well, it is one of my guy friends.
Okay. But it's just the idea of this person putting detail and committing to the conversation in some sort of way. That is as lighthearted as a sandwich.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
If you asked me that, I would say a Central 9 sandwich, by the way.
Communication. Open and honest communication with partners about their boundaries is crucial for navigating relationships. And let's see. The other one was...
What is self-soothing?
So self-soothing. Learning healthy coping mechanisms for managing difficult emotions is essential for avoiding emotional suppression. Because what do? So avoidance stuff. They stuff their feelings. What do anxious do? We spill it.
You know what's interesting? I don't know as... I didn't know that stuffing was a avoidant. Oh, okay. Oh, now that I think, now that I said that out loud, that makes sense. But because I do feel like I'm an attachment style. However, you know, when I, you know, this was years ago though, maybe it's because I'm a little bit older now. This is probably 10 years ago. I had an acting coach tell me one time, you know, you're not, I see that you have potential, but you're not doing as good as I think that you can. It's because what I've gathered is you stuff.
And oh, like, interesting.
Yeah. Now I think 22 and 23 compared to 32 is a big, so maybe I'm not so much in that now, but I think that there was a point in time where I was a stuffer.
A stuffer. Okay. Now the next attachment style is disorganized attachment. Okay. This is a type of insecure attachment characterized by inconsistent and unpredictable behavior in relationships, often stemming from a history of trauma or neglect. Individuals with this attachment style may simultaneously crave intimacy and fear it. So they crave it, but they fear it.
Because of trauma base, right? So they obviously, most people I would say want intimacy and closeness, but if they've had a bad experience, maybe unfortunately an assault or some sort of heinous and evil things that happen in the world, they want that, but then it gets triggered by an experience that they had and they're like, well, no, I don't know, you know, I can't.
Right, because the next line says leading to a push and pull dynamic where they seek closeness, but they withdraw or lash out. So I don't know if I can pinpoint any of my friends that are this attachment style, but I'm going to read just a few of them because we're running out of time. Individuals with disorganized attachment exhibit a mixture of anxious and avoidant behaviors.
I can see that.
Okay, struggling to regulate their emotions and manage relationships. Inconsistent behavior. Their actions in relationships can be erratic and confusing, swinging between being clingy and distant. Oh gosh, maybe I do have friends that are like this. Fear of intimacy. Despite wanting closeness, they fear being hurt or abandoned, leading to avoidance or emotional vulnerability.
I can't imagine that because that makes sense how it could be anxious, like the fear that there would be a little bit of anxious on there because we all want to be loved and you know, some degree validated for something, maybe not in an anxious way, but like having a fear-based experience from the closeness.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Right. Okay. Difficulty regulating their emotions. They may struggle to manage their emotions, leading to anxiety, anger, or other intense reactions. And then negative self-perception. Individuals may feel unworthy of love or closeness in relationships. So some of the causes, we're just going to go over these really quickly. Trauma and abuse, inconsistent parenting, impact on relationships, instability in relationships, conflict and distance, and then challenges with communication.
Mm.
Okay. And the therapy for
all of the treatments are like on all therapy.
Yeah.
So basically what everyone needs is therapy.
Trauma-informed therapy for this one.
Trauma.
Yes. Okay. So this I find interesting. So this is, I'm going to tell you about the avoidant really quick. So the avoidant brain, okay, analytical and logical, okay, focused on facts, less emotional, goal action and productivity oriented.
That's good for work.
Yeah. Concise and factual, less relatively focused. What does that say? I cannot. Yeah.
Relationally.
I like literally cannot see that. Okay.
Yeah, I can see it perfectly, but it's relationally. That's not a word.
Underactive attachment. Okay, that was the avoidant. Now the anxious, intuitive, focused on feelings, more emotional, interpersonal connection oriented, expressive and descriptive, very there's that word again. Relation, what is that? I don't even know. Hypersensitive attachment. Okay, so that's the anxious. How come I just can't see today.
Hold on, if you're going to put that paper, let me set paper.
Okay. Now, here is a cool graph that I found online. So picture low anxiety, high anxiety, high avoidance, low avoidance. The anxious and the secure. Okay. The secure has low anxiety, low avoidance. The anxious has high anxiety and low avoidance.
High anxiety
and low avoidance. The secure
is... that's the anxious.
Yeah, and that's the anxious. Now, the avoidant has low anxiety and high avoidance. And the anxious avoidant, the one that has both of those, is high anxiety and high avoidance.
Real quick. It's going.
Relationally.
So that was right, but I don't know why that sounds like a fake word, relationally.
So basically, this is how this works. So the avoidant avoids, so high avoidance, and doesn't have very much anxiety. The anxious has low avoidance
and high anxiety.
And the anxious avoidant, which is kind of a combination of both, has high avoidance and low anxiety. Sorry. Yeah. So anyways, that is basically our podcast for today.
You're right. I think you mentioned that in the beginning of it, that I was going to learn a lot about others, but I think I learned a lot about myself too.
I know. And that was the same for me because I was like, oh my gosh.
Hey, you know what? High five to us being secure attachments. One day. So that's a good goal. Maybe that's a good goal because I think this week I've been faced with like, what are my long-term goals? And like with certain things and all that stuff. So maybe there is something inside, you know, someone's telling me that I need to, you know, change my ways in certain things. And maybe part of that is to become more secure.
Well, I think that should be everybody's goal. That is a good goal. That is not in a secure attachment.
Yes. Do you know too many people that are in a secure attachment?
You know, I can think of maybe a few people that just grew up very well-rounded, balanced, and that trust people and that don't cause drama on the side and that are just good people.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that. Yeah. Like, I didn't get that. I don't think you got that. I think we are super anxious.
I definitely, I can be. My brain spins, and when it spins, like the only thing that I can do is let it die out naturally. Like I can't, especially if I'm someone that does need validation. But if I'm spinning, I'm like,
oh, I know.
Then I will let this validation sink after when I'm not spinning, but during the spin,
yep.
That's
why we don't sleep well, is because our anxiety is high. We are constantly thinking we can't shut off our brains, basically.
Yeah, that's hard for me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a great podcast.
Yeah, this was a good episode. I liked it.
Did we touch on all the attachment styles?
We did. We got all of them. We kind of flew through the last one, but at the
How
same
time. How many are there? Four?
There's four. Mm-hmm.
Secure, anxious, avoidant, and...
Like avoidant.
Anxious, avoidant, and what was the other one?
That was it.
Oh, secure, anxious, avoidant, and then avoidant?
Yeah, I think it's called actually something. It's called anxious, yeah, anxious, avoidant. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's kind of the combination of both of them.
Well, cheers to, my coffee's out and you don't have anything, but cheers to trying to be more secure.
Yep. And I will say it one more time.
Bye.
Bye.